Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Daisy Take. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, where your suspicions grow. How do you like that? Yeah, my son-in-law came up with that. It's awesome. Okay. And I want to welcome you here. If you're new here, hi, and welcome, and hit that subscribe button or click that little check mark and never miss an episode. And if you've been listening, thank you so much, and I appreciate you. Thank you for sticking with me. Information for today's podcast comes from landofentrapment.blog, charlieproject.org, doenetwork.org, kisselpaso.com, elpasotimes.com. This episode contains subject matters that may be sensitive to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. So today I'm going to talk about the disappearance of the Pattersons from El Paso, Texas. Have you ever heard of them? I did hear of them briefly at one point, but it never really came into my mind until I started reading the articles and looking at stuff on YouTube and Googling it. Then I started realizing, wow, that's strange. So I guess William Patterson and his wife owned a photo supply store. His wife was known as a shy alcoholic. And not much is known about the couple's lives prior to being in El Paso. And I believe that they came from Chicago. They lived on the 3000 block of Piedmont Drive in El Paso, where they disappeared without a trace March 6, 1957. I guess a friend of theirs, Cecil Ward, reported them missing 5 months later. It took so long because they had apparently told associates they were going on a long vacation, and they told friends and stuff, whoever their friends were, that they were going on a long vacation. And I guess William Patterson loved to fish and things like that. But if they did go fishing or they went somewhere like that to Florida, they never came back. It's been six decades since all of this information came to light, maybe even longer than six decades. Now, their case, it spawned like all kinds of rumors, you know, like from UFO abductions to William Patterson being a Russian spy. And there was a theory that William Patterson was you know, a spy, and his wife was in on it. There is compelling evidence supporting several of these theories. However, something else must have happened, because I just, not that I don't believe in UFOs, I most certainly do. I can't believe that we are the only species in the whole universe, you know. But it just seems a little suspicious, you know, kind of fishy. The last night the couple was seen alive, I guess they weren't in a happy mood. They weren't in a good place. The neighbor came by with Girl Scout cookies, and she claimed that the couple was behaving oddly and that Margaret was crying. Feeling weird and unwelcome, and you know how you go into a place, you know, you don't feel like you're welcome. You leave right away. I guess that's how she felt. And that was the last person to have seen the couple alive. She said later that Margaret always seemed to be a tiny bit frail. You know, the house had no indication that there was a struggle. And a telegram arrived from Dallas instructing the employees how to handle the photo supply store while the Pattersons were gone. That's the only weird thing, you know, is they got this telegraph and they're looking at it and they're saying, okay, this is how we handle the photo supply store, but where the hell are these people? Now, employees often handled business while William was out of town, but the telegram, I guess, didn't add up in their minds. The middle initial on the telegram was incorrect, and it couldn't be traced. You know, back then, telegram companies didn't require a photo ID to send a message. So there was eventually, they started looking into the case and the disappearance. And they uncovered no indications of where they could have gone. Luther Patterson, William's 75-year-old father, visited El Paso from Chicago to testify. He made a statement, "I always knew Pat and Margaret would take off like this someday, but I figured it would be 4 or 5 years away. They're not dead. My boy has done things like this before. He has made his living doing sleight of hand tricks." However, later he admitted that maybe he believed the couple was dead. It was not like his son to go that long without contacting his father. Sorry, that was my microphone. That was weird. I had to drink my coffee. It's just, okay, here's where things start to get a little strange. And maybe not strange, but just, you know, wow, really? William Patterson, he had a mistress. And I guess she was in her 20s or something. I read that somewhere, and I can't remember where I read it. Estefana Arroyo Marfin, and he would go and visit her in Juarez. She told police that when he last visited, he told her he had lots to tell her and that he would have to leave in a hurry. So I guess he told her, when they come for me, I have to leave in a hurry. But later, for some unknown reason, she recanted the statement and, you know, professed, like she said, "I'm innocent, don't accuse me of anything," and just recanting my statement. I don't know. It just sounds kind of funny. You know, maybe somebody took him from Juarez or something. I don't know. Now, the couple seems to have left on their own accord. You know, they seem to have left. There was no foul play. And the fact that Margaret didn't take her cat, Tommy, and she always took Tommy everywhere she went. I mean, this cat was her just lovable pride and joy. She would never leave this cat behind. If they had chosen to disappear, why wouldn't they take Tommy with them? But Tommy was found in the home after the couple went missing. And I guess a few months later, after the couple vanished, a suspicious letter arrived instructing the Patterson's property to be distributed between Doyle Kirkland, a business associate of the couple, and Herb Roth, his business auditor, who was only 24 at the time. And I guess one of the signatures on the letter seemed really, really suspicious. Now, the neighbor with the Girl Scout cookies, while she was the last person to see them alive, some say that Doyle Kirkland was the last person to see them alive before they vanished. He also had a possible motive for killing the couple to gain the business and all of their money. And for years, sightings were reported everywhere, especially in Mexico. But they were never able to confirm any of these sightings, and the couple never contacted their friends or family again. And rumors began to swarm that they were Russian spies from the Cold War. Now, I'm not sure if I believe that, but it is a possibility. Because at that time, you know, the Cold War, Russian spies, I mean, it is a possibility. I don't know. I believe that they were taken somewhere and they were murdered, but that's just my own personal belief. So I guess he loved photography and he loved taking pictures. And I guess like them being Russian spies, you know, that he would have had to work for the USSR and he would have to give them like information, or maybe he was killed by the Russians for blowing his cover. I'm really not sure. The whole thing's kind of a mystery because it's like a puzzle piece and you have all these pieces, but you have parts missing. So you're never really going to get the whole puzzle. You're just going to get like, you're going to almost finish the puzzle, but you're going to have those pieces missing and it's not going to look right. So a former employee of the Pattersons claimed that he found blood and a bit of scalp hanging off the rudder of the Pattersons' boat, which they kept parked in the garage. He cleaned it up and never went to the police because it was undocumented. And at that time, he feared that he would get deported, so he never reported it to the police. A few years later, after giving this tip, he passed away, and nothing came of that lead. I mean, if that was true and he cleaned up that whole mess, well, he just cleaned up the crime scene, so. The 3000 Piedmont House has long had a reputation as the haunted house. Now, a lot of people think in El Paso that the Pattersons were killed there. A psychic did a paranormal investigation in the home and recorded the spirit of a woman screaming. And you can actually hear it online. And it's weird because you hear people in the house and they're all talking like they're normal, you know, like asking questions, just talking. And then all of a sudden in the background, you hear like a woman screaming or a woman crying. But it doesn't sound like any of the investigators that were there. Now, when they recorded it, the psychic said she could not confirm that the woman was Margaret. It really does, like, when you hear that scream, it really does emphasize the fact that maybe they were murdered in the home. Now, when you look at a photo of William Patterson and his wife, he looks kind of creepy. He looks like, I don't know. He just looks sinister. He looks a little creepy. And he cheated on Margaret a lot. He drank a lot because he was unhappy. And they were fighting that day. Maybe he possibly killed her in the garage. And maybe she hit her head on the rudder. And that's why he found the scalp and the blood there. And he also may have been planning the murder. That's why he told Estefana that he would have to leave in a hurry. And that he could have possibly sent the suspicious telegram himself to make it look like somebody else said it. I don't know. There's like 1,000 theories, you know. There's been people move in and out of the house since then, obviously. And they say that they've seen the cat on the counter, that they've seen a cat, but the cat wasn't full of color, that it was kind of sitting there with its tail tucked around its leg like it was waiting to be fed. And then the father, I guess, would smell a man's cologne, and they would see the shadow or silhouette of a woman dressed in 1950s clothing. I think it's haunted. It probably is. The little cat, Tommy, he was seen in the house, and she loved this cat so much that she would take this cat everywhere. So the cat was seen in the house, and then it was gone. And then 4 months later, they saw the cat around the house again, and he was very, very just horrible looking, skinny, you know, just awful. I feel so bad for Tommy. I really do, because I'm an animal lover, and I'm the kind of person that, you know, when you're watching a horror film or something and the dog gets killed or the cat gets killed, I'm like, no, I don't want to watch it no more. You know, I mean, I feel so bad for little Tommy, because he was just left to fend for himself after being spoiled so much by his mom, by Margaret. This disappearance has a lot of twists and turns, and in 1984, the case was reopened. After a witness came forward to say that he'd been hired to clean, and that was that man I was talking about. Now, he died after that account, and, you know, they were never able to confirm if what he said was true. And like I said, it's rumored that the Patterson's Piedmont Drive residence is haunted. Their disappearance remains unsolved. And on the FBI website, it just basically says, I don't think it's ever going to be solved. And I really don't. I don't think that this is one of those mysteries in El Paso that's never going to be solved. But if you have any information, please contact the El Paso County Sheriff's Office at 915-538-2291. Oh, and I forgot to mention, in January of 2020, Leon Baker, owner and lead investigator with El Paso Ghost Tours, had interviewed former occupants of the home. And her father worked at the railroad and was transferred to El Paso and knew nothing of the home's hauntings. Soon after moving in, she noticed there was something wrong with the house. Her name is Elizabeth. She knew something was wrong with the house. I saw a cat sitting on the counter with his tail wrapped around his legs, moving slightly at the tip. He looked like he was waiting to be fed. The only thing was that he was out of the ordinary. The cat had no real color. So she reached out to pet the cat, and he just vanished. He disappeared. And then she also recounted a time when she saw a woman wearing clothes you would see in the 50s, and she looked as solid as any other person, but it looked like she was standing behind a sheer curtain. And she said her father had a great sense of smell and complained that he could smell the cat in the house, and he could smell pipe smoke and the scent of a man. And she explained that they moved out after 3 months of moving in. I believe that, because there are many areas around where people move in, they hear things, they see things, and they move out right away. So I do believe that this house is haunted. I believe that the spirits are still there. Maybe they're waiting for justice. Maybe they're waiting for an answer. Maybe the little kitty is just waiting to be fed. I don't know. I feel so bad for little Tommy. I mean, I feel bad for them too. Don't get me wrong, but the whole thing is just so suspicious. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Daisy Take. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Join me for Murdered and Missing Monday on the Daisy Take on Monday. Be kind to one another. And don't forget to join me next Friday for the Yogurt Shop Murders. Be kind to one another. Love you. Bye.